Good afternoon, you're very welcome to today's edition of Saturday with Clare Byrne. On today's programme, are we heading for an accidental election? We're told no one wants it, but as the Fine Gael-Fianna Fáil relationship falters over water, will we all end up at the ballot box? Plans to take drivers off the road if they're just over the limit have caused political ruction. So who wins, the rural drinker or road safety? And we'll also discuss the political chess game surrounding the Garda Commissioner and the Attorney General. That's all to come with our panel very shortly, but first it's time for the news now with Susan Jackson.
And that's all from the newsroom for the moment. Back to you, Claire.
Susan, thank you very much. This is Saturday with Clare Byrne. You can get in touch with us by texting 51551, email saturday@rte.ie, and on Twitter it's @SaturdayRTE. Joining us today, we have Regina Doherty, Government Chief Whip and Fine Gael TD, Jim O'Callaghan, Fianna Fáil TD and Justice Spokesperson. From our Limerick studio, Labour TD Alan Kelly. Kevin Doyle is here, Irish Independent Political Editor, along with Professor Gavin Barrett from the UCD School of Law. You're all very welcome. Thank you for joining us. Now, all of those who might have believed that a coalition between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael could happen after the next election might want to listen back to this again from earlier in the week. Here's Leo Varadkar speaking in the Dáil to Deputy Paul Murphy.
You know, I do want to congratulate you, Deputy Murphy, on one enormous success. And it's certainly not the role you've played in the campaign against water charges. It is the role you've played in reducing Fianna Fáil to what it is now. The party of La Masse, a party that was once proud to stand up for things that would do the right things by the Irish people, is now in a position that it determines its policy on water solely out of their fear of you and their fear of
and their fear of
Sinn Féin.
Okay, so that might give you a sign or a snapshot of where we are politically, the relationship between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. Further evidence of where we're at is on Alan Farrell, Fine Gael TD's Facebook page today, where he's posted a mock-up poster from Back to the Future featuring Barry Cowan's face and Micheál Martin's face. And it says, when it comes to water, Fianna Fáil want to send us back to the future. Then he lists, in 1977, Burr Cowan did this, he alleges. In the 2000s, Brian Cowan did that. And then he talks about Barry Cowan in the now. And what he's saying in each of those instances is that the Cowan family and Fianna Fáil put the interests of Fianna Fáil before the interests of the country. It is below the belt stuff, Regina, isn't it? It's pretty nasty.
I didn't see it until I just, you put it in front of me a second ago, and I actually had to double look at it to see, because I thought it might have been a joke or somebody else. It's not something that I could ever subscribe to. Politics, I know we talk about it being about the personal, but when you actually have to revert to being personal between two politicians or two political parties, I think you've lost the argument. I think that's a pity. So
will you be speaking to Alan Farrell in your role as Chief Whip about that?
Well, I can talk to him, but like, my role as Chief Whip is not about what personal TDs do or don't do on their Facebook page. But like, I mean, I wouldn't be happy about it. So as I said, I've just first seen it now, and I'll talk to him again later on, maybe.
OK, Jim, have you seen this?
No, I haven't seen it. But
here, I'll just give you a copy of it.
I don't like the idea of politicians referring to the families of other politicians. Mm. Alan Farrell is perfectly entitled to criticise Fianna Fáil for its stance on water or policy on any other aspect. But what he shouldn't be doing is making personal attacks at people's family, and something I'd never do, and I don't think he should do it. In respect of what Leo said in the Dáil last week, I was there for that. I listened to him say it. What struck me was that I sat opposite Leo Varadkar in Trinity College for about 2 weeks, this time last year when we were negotiating the confidence and supply agreement. He never mentioned any such criticism. He never sought to undermine what Fianna Fáil was seeking to do in those talks. We spent a lot of time in those talks talking about water. And you're right, Claire, because I remember beforehand you said too much time was spent talking about water in those talks. The reason time was spent in it was because it was a difficult political issue and we had to reach an agreement in respect of it. If we didn't reach an agreement, it was going to be dealt with in the floor of the Dáil and we'd have an election by now. We reached a deal. And the deal is very clear. It's set out in the confidence and supply agreement. And unfortunately, what's happening now is that the Fine Gael leadership campaign is destabilising this government. And it's clear that Leo came out at the weekend after Simon had indicated that he was happy with the deal. We had a deal this time last week. And then Leo comes out, there's a comment in the paper on the Sunday Business Post, and Simon is spooked by it. So what we can't allow to happen is
just
that
explain to people what the comment was that you say spooked people, and then we'll come back to Regina for a response.
Well, what happened was last Thursday, So we're talking about 10 days ago or 9 days ago. Simon Coveney and the Water Committee had reached agreement. And Simon Coveney was texting the Fine Gael members or tweeting, whatever it is, tweeting to the Fine Gael members saying, well done, the work is done. So the report was finalised 9 days ago. Then there was an article in the Business Post last week with Leo Varadkar being quoted as stating that this wasn't a good deal for Fine Gael and we shouldn't be going down that route. They're playing games. It's a game that's been going on now for 6 years between Simon and Leo, and it's destabilising the government and it's got to stop.
Because they say that you reneged on a deal.
Well, that's not correct. If you look at what was agreed, the Water Committee had an agreement as of last week. I'm not a member of the committee. My understanding is they were due to come in on Tuesday just to sign off on it. They came in on Tuesday and the Fine Gael members tried to undermine the deal.
So they kicked up because of what Leo said at the weekend, is what your view is.
My suspicion,
it couldn't be further from the truth, Jim.
Okay.
Regina, go on.
It absolutely couldn't be further from the truth. First of all, we already have a leader. And let me be very clear that regardless who our leader is, our policy on water will not change. It has not changed and it's consistent over the number of years. You are right that we spent a number of weeks last year discussing how we would deal with water only because it is so contentious. And personally, actually, I'm grateful for that. What's wrong here is that the deal that we did have last Thursday, Fianna Fáil saw fit to come into the Water Committee meeting this week and allow amendments to be put to their amendments that they had put down to the Water Committee be tabled by Sinn Féin, for those amendments to be accepted and supported by Fianna Fáil. And fundamentally, what was agreed last week is entirely different to what's on the table this week.
Okay, so your contention is that they did renege on the deal.
Well, we had an agreement last week. First of all, can I just say that there is no deal until there is a deal, right? But what was agreed last week was unravelled this week, which is why we're, I suppose, as upset as we are. What was agreed last Thursday would have allowed us to comply with the EU Water Framework Directive that I must point out that was Fianna Fáil's policy and is still advocated by the signatory Noel Dempsey then and is still advocated by him now. What we would have had in the agreement last week was the multiplier effect that we had agreed what normal household usage was, the multiplier effect of 1.7, which would have captured about 8% of households and given them an excessive charge. We had agreed it to such an extent that Fianna Fáil had said they'll call it a levy, we'll call it a charge. You know, we had agreed that water meters would be put in all new bills so that it would comply with the Water Framework Directive, because if you're not measuring, you can't monitor and therefore you don't know what's excessive. And Fianna Fáil allowed Sinn Féin, supported by Fianna Fáil, to make amendments to the tabled document last week, which completely took out the word normal. It changed the definition of excessive usage. It removed the need for new bills to have water meters. And actually, what we have on the table right now, we firmly believe does not comply with the EU Framework Directive that will end up resulting in tens of thousands, if not millions of euros of fines being imposed by the EU onto Ireland.
Okay,
if the legislation resulting in this draft report was to be enacted.
Ultimately, Regina, Fine Gael made a mess of introducing charges.
There's nobody denying that,
Claire. You can't now blame Fianna Fáil for that.
No. And I'm sorry, I'm not blaming Fianna Fáil for the catastrophe that we made of this for the last number of years. I completely and utterly accept that what we put forward, how we put forward the particular policy that we wanted to put to the Irish people was a cock-up, right? No bones, no standing behind doors. It was a cock-up. What we decided in our confidence and supply arrangement last year was a mechanism to allow everybody to have an input in the democratic way the De Hont team was set up and in the democratic way that we would decide what is the best policy to put forward for water in this country. You know that we wanted to charge people, not just the average taxpayer who goes out to work every single day and make him or her pay for everything. We wanted to charge people on a paid per usage. That wasn't the will of the Parliament. That's okay. It's not something that I'm losing sleep over. But what I genuinely will not stand over, and Fine Gael will not stand over, is introducing legislation that makes sure that we actually directly contravene a piece of legislation that governs us within the EU already and that relies on the taxpayer again forking up for tens of thousands, if not millions of euros of fines just because Fianna Fáil have no principles.
All right, and Gavin Barrett, that's why you're here, because you agree with that assessment, don't you? That's what we will be doing.
I agree with it in part, yes. I mean, the essential piece of European Union law here is the Water Framework Directive. That contains two very simple obligations in it. One of them is that we must have water pricing policies providing adequate incentives for the efficient use of water resources. And the other is that there must be an adequate contribution by households taking taking account of the polluter pays principle. In other words, if you use the water, you're the one who actually pays for
it. And just to be clear, we've signed up to that.
Oh,
we
yes.
cannot escape the fact that we have agreed to do both of those
Absolutely.
Things.
Absolutely. That directive has been in place since the year 2000. We had an exemption on the basis of our established practice of not having water charges. That's gone now because we introduced legislation and we set up a whole system for collecting water charges. So the exemption no longer applies. So the full obligation applies to us. So in terms of what the committee came up with there, I mean, you know, if you just think of the obligations, water pricing policies, that involves that you actually put a price on water. It can't just be any price. It must be a price that creates an adequate incentive for users to use water resources efficiently.
So the Fianna Fáil solution wouldn't work either?
The Fianna Fáil solution certainly will not work. My question actually would be, would the Fine Gael solution work in relation to this as agreed in the committee? Because there must be adequate incentives for users to use water resources efficiently. So they're allowing water users to, as long as they don't exceed 1.7 times the average use of water.
8%, as Regina said, it's
negligible. Only affect, exactly, yeah. And there must be an adequate contribution by households to water recovery charges. How will charges on 8% of households create an adequate contribution to the recovery of water charges? So my difficulty, if you like, isn't just with the Fianna Fáil position, let alone the position of Fianna Fáil and all the other parties that are in there. I have difficulties with the Fine Gael position as well. So my problem is that no matter which option is taken by this committee, we're going to end up putting ourselves in a situation in which we can be liable to very, very hefty fines at European
Kevin
Union
Kevin Doyle
level.
And then Alan, I'll come to you in Limerick. Kevin Doyle?
Well, Claire, I think that's all very interesting, but what happened in the last few days had absolutely nothing to do with what Gavin's just been talking about and the EU, right or wrong, because
very true.
You say two rights or two wrongs don't make a right. In this scenario, everybody is wrong. Fianna Fáil have been disingenuous. They have been vindictive. They saw a gap. They saw a way of hurting Simon Coveney and they went for it. And there's absolutely no doubt about that. I've gone through all the various draft documents that they were of this. Last week, Fianna Fáil had 100% agreed. They put down their own amendment saying that new builds would have water meters. And a few days later, that's thrown out, which shows you that this is entirely about politics and nothing to do with principles. On the flip side, Fine Gael were naive and they were played like a fiddle.
The whole committee idea.
Yeah, well, first of all, the committee was a kick the can down the road. That worked for what it was. The problem is you catch up eventually. But the Simon Coveney to be tweeting last week and counting his chickens before they hatched was naive in the least, because knowing Fianna Fáil, they're wily political operators.
Well, it was trusting, Kevin.
I know, and that's the problem, actually, Regina. Never trust
in this
game.
Here's what's interesting is that Fianna Fáil are out spinning today that, you know, the trust is gone between the two parties and so therefore the confidence and supply arrangement is defunct and that we're the ones walking people into an election. We trusted Fianna Fáil.
And
you know what? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice.
Can we just go back to the agreement? Like, I'm trying to find a resolution in respect to this. There's an agreement in place between ourselves and Fine Gael. It provided that there'd be a commission set up. That happened. It reported within 5 months. The next step was that it was to go to an Oireachtas committee to report within 3 months. We're simply at that stage now. Can we just let the Oireachtas committee report? A lot of the Fine Gael concern is about the legislation. We haven't even got to the legislative phase.
Can you just address what Gavin said, Jim?
Well, the Water Framework Directive, its objective is to protect and restore clean water across Europe. It doesn't require the introduction of charges. It gives a broad and wide discretion to member states as to how they implement it. We recognise that it has to accommodate the polluter pays principle. We believe it does so in terms of our proposal to amend the 2007 Act. We received legal advice in respect to that. We put forward our own opinion. In fact, the sign that we were so serious about this is that we got our legal advice before we went into the Provost's House in Trinity to negotiate.
So Gavin
with
Barrett's
Fine
Gael. Wrong.
I'm not saying Gavin Barrett is wrong. I'm saying that we
have
a legal...
You're saying we have to charge for water and that's it.
Well, I think that's wrong. If you're saying that you have to charge for water...
You are saying that.
Yes, I am saying
that. OK, well, I think that is wrong. I think we have a much broader discretion. If you look in Scotland, they don't charge for water. I think countries are given a broad discretion in terms of how they comply with and how they transpose the Water Framework Directive. But, like, we haven't even got to the stage. Can we just finish the work of the committee and then let the Dáil and Seanad vote on it? That's what's in the agreement. And then the Dáil and Seanad vote on it, and Fine Gael have agreed that they will bring forward legislation to represent the views of the Dáil and Seanad.
Why
and
did you make the changes this week, Jim,
obviously,
that Fianna Fáil made in the
committee? Can I just finish my last point? Obviously, that legislation will have to comply with the law. There's no suggestion that legislation is going to be brought forward that doesn't comply with the law.
So Alan Kelly's in Limerick. I just want to bring him in here. Kevin Doyle said earlier that everybody is wrong. You contend that you're not wrong. You were never wrong.
Well, I contend that where we've got to now is a complete and utter farce. Just to deal with a few things, because I haven't got in yet, Claire. Firstly, I think what Alan Farrell put up on Facebook is downright stupid. And frankly speaking, is probably counterproductive. Now, I've a lot of issues. I believe Barry Cowan is behaving so irresponsibly. He's the most irresponsible person in Dáil Éireann. But to intergenerationalise it and make it so personal, I think is counterproductive. First thing. Second thing is, I think Jim is using the Fine Gael leadership contest, which no doubt is all around us, as an excuse here. The facts are that the foundation around which this whole agreement in relation to dealing with water was a farce from the beginning, because we had Simon Coveney making the biggest political mistake of his life on prime time, allowing Fianna Fáil to come through a gap and politically exploit him and Fine Gael and this government. An expert committee that wasn't an expert committee, that wasn't independent because it took cognizance of political situation. And then a committee which basically was not going to be able to deal with the situation. And we've heard...
Why?
Because of the way in which they're just constituted, which I've just outlined to you. We've had revisionism here from...
But that reflects the makeup of the Dáil, surely.
Well, it reflects the makeup of the Dáil, but the people of the Dáil... I mean, this excuse that's been trotted out that the majority of people are elected to get rid of Irish water and all that, that's all very well and fine and dandy. Frankly, it doesn't wash with me. The people who are elected to Dáil Éireann and are elected to do their best for the country, elected to legislate and do what's right. And you've heard from the most eminent person in Ireland when it comes to EU law, which is Professor Gavin Barrett. We've heard from Commissioner Vella, and I know the opinion of the AG. Now, I would take their three opinions above anyone else, that in this situation, we are bound by the Water Framework Directive. We are bound to bring in a charging regime. We are bound to meet the polluter pays principle, the cost recovery, and also in relation to metering. And that is a simple fact. So the terms of reference, even the way in which this was constituted through the expert commission, was never going to work. And this was always going to catch up with us. And now it has caught up with us. And the people of Ireland are bloody well sick and tired of the populist nonsense whereby Fine Gael are chasing Fianna Fáil, who are chasing Sinn Féin, who are chasing Paul Murphy. And now we've got to this stage. And I can tell you, as somebody who's met so many people over the last number of months in this issue, they are absolutely fed up of the taxpayers of Ireland, the working people, getting screwed again, which is what is going to happen in this scenario.
OK, Alan, so just on the political side of this, do you see us, Dermot O'Hearn says today, writing in the Mail, that the deterioration in the relationship between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael on water doesn't augur well for the longevity of this government. And that opinion is replicated in lots of common pieces today. Is that where we're heading? Are we trotting towards an election here?
It seems likely, unless somebody is going to make the biggest turnaround in political modern history. I mean, effectively what has been proposed here, Professor Barrett is right, what has been proposed here is absolutely, totally illegal. And I'll tell you what was being proposed when Simon Coveney showed his naivety and tweeted that a deal was done, was also totally illegal. So unless there is a change around which is of enormous proportions that we've never seen before, well, yes, I would say.
OK, good man, Alan. Keep up that kind of policy talk until Labour have no seats.
Well, I'd rather...
Says a listener.
I mean, that's all very fine and dandy. And, you know, people are entitled to their opinions and people are entitled to a range of opinions in relation to this issue. One thing, I will not be a hypocrite on this issue. My party will not be a hypocrite on this issue. We have environmental issues that are going to go on for generations if we don't sort this out. We will not be able to bring industry into this country. It'll affect our economic future. And socially, we will be still having raw sewage, and that is what it is, going onto the beaches in Lahinch, coming out into the rivers in Arklow and around the country. And people always talk about water. They never talk about waste. And if we don't deal with the waste issue, we'll have more contamination of water.
Pat Leahy says today, Kevin, that one minister told him that there's no trust and hardly any communication between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. Is that the case in your experience?
Yeah, I think individuals speak probably, and Jim could probably testify to what kind of a relationship maybe he has with Francis Fitzgerald. So I think individual spokespersons perhaps speak across, but I think at the higher level, it has kind of collapsed to some extent. But particularly when it comes to water, there is such bad blood now, I think, between Barry Cowan and Simon Coveney on this issue. There is absolutely no trust. There was talk of talks this weekend to try and smooth this out. they're not happening.
There were never any talks planned, Kevin. Just, I don't know where that came from in the papers this morning, but there were no talks planned for this
weekend. Yeah, I mean, what was said in the papers today was that there were talks planned and that they were cancelled because Simon Coveney wrote to the chair of the Water Committee.
If there were talks planned, then somebody forgot to tell us about them.
Jim, were there talks planned?
Not that I'm aware of. Can I just say, in terms of the bad trust between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, I have a good relationship with the Tánaiste. There are very many people in Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael who have good relationships with each other. We're trying to ensure that this government does its job. We hold them to account. We don't want a general election. I think it's important that people bring some, we get some calm heads into this and try to go back to what was agreed between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in Trinity about a year ago. Like, we reached that agreement. But what we've got to recognise, Regina, is that the committee is not simply just Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. We need to just finalise that committee report on Tuesday.
But can I ask you a direct question, Jim?
If we can get finalisation on that committee report next week, we can progress to the next stage.
You tabled an amendment, and these are your words, that all new dwellings have water meters so that the amount of household consumption can be clear. And you allowed Sinn Féin table an amendment to that amendment this week so that households don't need to have water meters. Why would you do that?
I'm not on the committee, OK? The committee has been meeting for 3-4 months. It's done a huge amount of work.
So then this wasn't discussed at your front bench meeting this week?
I'm not going to discuss what's discussed at Fianna Fáil front bench meetings. All I'm saying to you is that there is a method of trying to resolve this. There's a committee there that has to produce a report.
Let's ask that in a different way. Do you support the amendment which removes the compellability of developers and house owners of new homes to have water meters? Do you support that?
Yeah, I do. I haven't worked on the water committee, but my understanding was that...
You can't divorce yourself from what Fianna Fáil are doing in the committee.
What we're trying to achieve, and the evidence that was presented to the water committee, is that you can have district metering in respect of issues.
So what changed from when you put down the amendment in the first place, which was week one, to this week when you allowed Sinn Féin to table an amendment to your amendment? So how was it a good idea last week to table an amendment in Fianna Fáil's name to put a water meter in every single new build or a significant extension? And this week you thought it was okay for Sinn Féin to say, well, actually, no, we don't need that. Because that's about politics.
But Regina, we had a
deal.
This
is about Fianna Fáil having no principles, Jim, because your policy on water has changed so many times from 2000 to when Brian Cowan brought his nominations or his documents to the Cabinet, to when you changed your mind last year, to when you've changed your mind last week. And this isn't about policy. This is about politics.
Well, can I reply?
This is about Fianna Fáil being popular with the electorate to the detriment of what actually is going to be for the rest of the country.
Listen, we have an agreement. We agreed something last year. It set out a mechanism to deal with the whole issue of water charges. You agreed to it at the time. Fine Gael agreed to it. You recognised that we would be entitled to bring forward legislation in the Dáil to seek the abolition of water charges. You're in favour of that. You recognised we can do that. And now we need to stick to that arrangement.
Well, you know what we'd like to stick to is what we agreed last week, Jim. So let's stop harping back to what we agreed in the process last year. Actually, we're in the process now.
Why can't you just let the committee?
Why can't you just explain why you changed from your principles of last week to having different principles of this week? Tell me, please, is it about policy and water policy, or is it about Sinn Féin and the AAA or Solidarity, or whatever they're called this week?
We have an arrangement in place, and like you can try
the process
and
of the arrangement, Jim, is ongoing.
To. I'm trying to put it back together again. I'm trying to get some calm commentary into this, and I think you're not really assisting that. What we need to do is to follow the terms of the agreement. Let the committee reach its final agreement. If the committee agrees something, well, because the majority of people want it,
keep changing their mind from week to week, it's going to be very difficult, Jim, to agree
the
anything.
Is entitled to reach its final recommendation.
Okay, Alan Kelly, I'm listening to this, as I'm sure you are, and I'm
glad I'm here in Limerick.
I'm harking back to the halcyon days of the Labour Fianna Gael coalition, because it's not going great, is it?
No, look, this is obviously, this arrangement is obviously going to come to an end if Jim and Regina Spat there is anything to go by, and they'd be two of the more milder people, to be fair, on either side of the Fianna Fáil Fine Gael divide.
You're very kind, Alan.
I know, but sure, I'm here in Limerick, so I can be. But look, this comes back to ultimately a false creation, which was there. I remember Michael McGrath said in the Dáil a good few months ago that the centre must hold. Now, these are two parties of the centre-right, but they're not holding. This issue, it's so obvious how this issue has to be dealt with. And for the basics of populism and point scoring in the political arena. These two parties have gone down a road now, which is a race to the bottom, and they don't know how to get out of it. And we're left now where the people of Ireland are going to suffer because of it. And there is, I can't see a way in which this can be dealt with in the scenario that they have built because of the stupidity of the decisions they made during the formation of the government. And it all comes back down to the day Simon Coveney opened the door on prime time. Now, unless there's going to be some form of transformation which we've never seen before, well, then it's fatalistic as regards where this is going.
OK, just a couple of text messages and Twitter messages on this. No more water charges. Great. I'll go tell my group scheme in Leitrim who just sent me a bill.
Hear, hear.
For the first time, I'm starting to like Alan Kelly. You like this one too, Alan. I voted Fianna Fáil in the last election, but in trying to recover, they're trying to be everything and it's sickening. They're as popular now as Sinn Féin or Paul Murphy. When are we getting free electricity and free groceries? Can we take it out of general taxation? The water issue is an absolute joke. You use, you pay. Full stop. And there are lots more. We're going to take a quick break and we're going to talk about drink driving just to calm things down a little bit after this ad break. On the day it's when it's reported that the 90-year-old ban on the sale of alcohol on Good Friday could be about to be lifted elsewhere, laws around alcohol and driving are causing political divisions because the Minister for Transport is pushing ahead with plans to ban drivers for 3 months if they test positive for alcohol at the lower end of the scale. The punishment is currently a €200 fine and 3 penalty points. Now, the law change is causing ructions with some rural politicians up in arms over what they say is madness. Alan Kelly, you're one of those who say it's madness, and you were at a meeting with local vintners in Thurles, I understand, and you told them that you were committed to opposing this bill.
My party has already decided that we're opposing it, and it's not just myself, it's the whole party unanimously. Firstly, this, look, obviously no one condones drink driving, but we have to have a wider discussion here. Firstly, is this the biggest priority when it comes to road safety as regards pieces of legislation? I attended the committee. I only attended the very last half an hour of it, I have to admit, but I did get to question Minister Ross in relation to this. I think a bit of background here is important as regards how he's come to this decision. Firstly, I was in that department for a number of years. And this decision, he keeps calling it an anomaly. It's not an anomaly. It's not mentioned anywhere in any documentation in the department that it's an anomaly. And he admitted that to me. It's his own idea, and that's fine. He is the minister. But it is not something that has been left over for a number of years. I actually know the officials in the department who were with him. And so it's basically something he's come up with. Now, I questioned him pretty deeply in relation to the following. Liz O'Donnell is an excellent chair of the Road Safety Authority. The fact of the matter are, the Road Safety Authority simply do not have enough expertise on their board in order to be able to do their job. And because of his egotistical attitude towards implementing these issues in relation to boards' numbers, which I disagree with, particularly in relation to specialised boards, which are very important, like the RSA, and his refusal to change on that, he has now come up with this piece of legislation himself, and he's pushing it. And that's his prerogative. But that is the background here. I disagree with it, right? I don't think it's the primary thing. I think, by the way, the whole issue of enforcement, which
wrong with zero tolerance approach to drinking and driving?
Because effectively that's what we already have. What's been imposed, what would be imposed here isn't practical. And it also doesn't, and the people, like for the people of rural Ireland, this is just an example of a wider discussion that isn't happening. So, for example, we have, the discussion's going on with Bus Éireann at the moment, so we don't have transport services in a number of towns and in rural areas across the country. We've rural transport schemes which need further investment. We've a lack of hackneys and taxis across rural Ireland. So you have a lack of transport services. It's not that people in rural Ireland in any way condone drink driving. It's just that Where are the priorities here in relation to this?
I know, hang on, but if there's an ambiguity around how much you can drink and how much you can get away with drinking, there is, Alan, you know yourself.
There is
no, you'll hear it all the time. No, you're a big fella and you've had a big dinner, so you can have 2 pints and you'll be grand.
Well,
that ambiguity is there because there is a grey area in the law.
Well, thanks for the compliment, Claire.
I wasn't talking about you.
I wouldn't practice that.
But you
that.
Know, you know I, what I mean. That goes on all the time. You know it.
When I'm around Porto, Gary Kennedy or Ballina or Nina, it wouldn't be something I practice anyway. I don't believe you should take a drink in the drive in any way, shape or form. That's not the
but
issue.
But you think that others should be allowed to?
No. The pint beer here is this. Is this the number one priority? No, it's not. Secondly, enforcement's the biggest issue when it comes to drink driving. And thirdly, people of rural Ireland are sick and tired of the non-focus in on the wider discussion when it comes to actual transport services being available. And maybe if we could deal with that in parallel, that would be a better idea. But firstly, I don't think this is actually going to pass muster inside the Dáil. I did attend a public meeting. I listened to lobby groups. I'd never become a prisoner of them, as most people know. But I do take on board views. I have 2 different discussions going on with the vintners at the moment, one of which I agree with them on, the other of which I'm vehemently opposed to, just to show that, prove that. But at that meeting, people who were there who were representing all parties, including Fianna Fáil, Jackie Cahill, Independents, and people who were there from Fine Gael, said they were all opposing this.
Yeah, so Jackie Cahill, and one of our listeners says Alan Kelly and co are pandering to the vintners and rural constituencies.
I've never pandered to a lobby group in my life, and I never will.
Okay,
so
Richard,
I'm bringing in a bill to change the intoxicating liquor licensing laws, which in fairness Jim and Regina are aware of for different reasons, is something that I believe is very positive and is actually all cross-party support in the Dáil. The vintners are against that, and I've told them I'd face them down on it.
Okay, Regina.
The statistics show that between 40 milligrams and 80 milligrams of alcohol in your bloodstream, that you are 6 times more likely to have a crash in your car than if you have none. Alan is wrong about
and so just to be clear for people, that's the lower end of the spectrum that Shane Ross is talking about here.
Well, the law at the moment is 50 milligrams, okay? So Alan is wrong when he talks about lack of enforcement, because the enforcement that we have has shown to us that 3,003 people were over the drink driving limit for the last 6 years. That's nearly 500 a year. And actually, it's more worrying because it isn't 500 a year, it's going up. So more and more people, even though anecdotally, and we've had this conversation before we come on air, there is a prevalence of when you say to people, when we talk about drink driving, oh no, well, it's not something that I would ever do. I actually wouldn't even have one drink and drive, right? So that's the way people talk to you. But 758 people last year had more than one drink and got into their car and were caught. And if it can, you know, if by changing the law that already exists can save one life, then it's worth it. And this business of actually shutting down rural Ireland, like I live kind of in Meath, but it's on the outskirts of Dublin. If I'm going out on a weekend or a night with my friends, we have a designated driver. It means that the other people that go with us can have their few glasses of wine or whatever, and one of us brings us home safely. There's no difference between Cork, Donegal, Mayo. You get a designated driver.
Yeah, I know, but that doesn't always work, because you could have a man, you know, in his 70s, and this is the example, you know, the rural isolation example. That person can't get a designated driver. Their only social outing is driving into the pub a couple of miles, having 2 pints, and driving home, and that's the person who will be discommoded by this.
Well, I don't agree with you, because, and I certainly, yes, there's nothing stopping people in rural Ireland going for the pint of a Friday night or a Tuesday night, whatever, but you get Molly or Mickey off the road to bring you this week and that you drive him next week. There's nothing stopping people going to the pub, albeit though that our practices, particularly in rural Ireland, have changed over the last number of years.
That's not rural Ireland.
Either way, if we can change the law, and actually I disagree again with Alan, this should be a priority, and that's why it is the Minister's priority. If we can change the law so that we can save at least one life, then it's worthwhile.
Okay, Kevin, what's going on in the Dáil about this? Divisions.
And to be honest, like Danny Healy-Ray got all the headlines obviously this week by saying more people were being killed by black ice and briars on the country roads. And I think there's a danger this is going to get lost in this rural-urban divide, in that this is going to be seen as an anti-rural Ireland policy, and which completely misses the point that this is about alcohol and this is about the bigger picture of Ireland and alcohol. I'm not sure Shane Ross is going to get very far in this, because Shane Ross is seen as an urbanite. He's seen as someone who doesn't really care about much past the M50. And any time anything comes up about rural Ireland, he's a lightning rod. Now, Shane Ross may well be on the side of principle on this one. He's probably right. But I suspect there's huge pushback on Fianna Fáil from it, from their rural TDs. Even within Fine Gael, Regina, there is some who have their doubts over this particular one, because they don't want to tell that 70-year-old man, Claire, that you're talking about, that he can't go to the pub and get home. And that is the reality. I was in the pub down home in Offaly last night, and, you know, I had to get my brother up out of bed at half 12 to come into town and bring me home again. But that's just the reality you face. And if people don't have that, the row should be more about the services that's needed in rural Ireland, about there should be a Hackney going round to the various villages or whatever, or a bus service or something. That should be what the debate is about, because this is illegal anyway. And when Noreen O'Sullivan...
Can you imagine that working in rural Ireland?
It would be very, very tough. No,
Hackney,
the truth
going
is,
from Furban to wherever to pick people up. It's not going to work.
It's not. No, it's not. But that's... The problem here, this is already illegal, right? When Noreen O'Sullivan was trying to give a justification for why guards weren't taking the recording of breath tests serious, and we ended up with a million phantom breath tests, which she said, well, breath tests were actually about deterrence. So the guards weren't maybe putting as much emphasis on keeping fact-checking and all the rest, because it was only to be seen. They didn't want to catch people. They just wanted to deter. This is already illegal. So if you're doing it now, you're getting penalty points and you're getting fined. Mm-hmm. So if we're saying that, oh, well, if there's a higher risk that you might get put off the road for a couple of months, well, then I won't do it, but I'm fine with getting penalty points and a fine. It doesn't add up. Either you're into doing something illegal or you're not.
OK, Jim, Fianna Fáil, what are you at on this one?
Well, we will support any measures that will reduce drink driving and improve road safety. The pre-legislative scrutiny of this bill was only introduced last week by Minister Ross. It had been indicated prior to this that he was looking for a mandatory disqualification for 2 years for people caught with between 50 and 80 milligrams of alcohol in their system. However, what he's proposing is that there would be a 3-month disqualification and a €200 fine. So welcome the fact that he hasn't gone for the mandatory penalty that applies at present. We will discuss this in the parliamentary party. Kevin is right that there are very strong feelings in respect of it. Some people think it is unnecessary. We will come to a decision in respect of it. Robert Troy is our transport spokesperson.
What do you think?
My view is I think it is excessive. I think at present that it is illegal to drive between 50 and 80 milligrams of alcohol in your blood system. What Shane Ross is talking about is changing the penalty for that. So it's already illegal. He is suggesting we change the penalty it is at present a 2 penalty point and a €200 fine. He wants to turn it into a 3-month disqualification and a €200 fine. I think it is correct that the offence is a criminal offence. However, I think the increase in the penalty is unnecessary.
Okay, we're getting a lot of messages on this. Living in a rural area does not give someone the right to break the law and kill a person, says Stephen, who says he lives in rural Wicklow. What a hypocrite Alan Kelly is. Votes are more important than keeping death off the roads, and he has the neck to talk about Fianna Fáil being populist, says Sean. Politicians who condemn bans on drink drivers are enemies of the people. And Alan Kelly, you are one of them. Now, these messages came in before Jim O'Callaghan spoke, so I'm sure Jim might be lumped in with you, Alan, in a couple of moments. But what do you say to those messages from people who just think that you shouldn't drink and drive?
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Of course you shouldn't drink and drive. This is already illegal. The issue here isn't really... there's two issues here. Firstly is, do you increase the penalty where you put people off the road? I believe that's wrong. I believe that's excessive. Firstly, people are being penalised already. The real issue here is when people are in rural Ireland and they do Kevin did last night and they got a lift home, I'm sure he took his time getting up this morning, driving up to Dublin or getting to the train or driving in whatever way he did. People are concerned about the following day. People are concerned about the basic things, doing basic work the following day after having a few drinks the night before. And that's the real issue. And the second reason people are getting so browned off and sick and tired of this is that it's not commensurate with a discussion on the services that are needed in rural Ireland in the first place. And I can tell you straight out that I do not believe that this will be passed in Leinster House by the by the okay. commentary I'm hearing. I mean, for being straight about it, I'd be shocked if a certain amount of Fine Gael TDs who are living in rural Ireland support this and think they can do so.
Well, we
and
know, there, about we know there are some people
in Fine Gael who are against it. Haven't we such an unhealthy relationship with drink in this country when actual people think it's okay to allow people in rural Ireland to go to the pub and have a couple of pints just because they need to be social as opposed to actually preventing people from
actually
dying?
That's what a lot of people
dying.
Do believe.
I think it's important to recall, it is criminalised already.
Yeah.
We criminalise people who have between 50 and 80 milligrams of alcohol in their blood system.
3,003 of them still do.
I know, it is a criminal offence. What we're talking about here is changing the penalty for it. So there's no issue but that it is a criminal act. The issue is the penalty.
I'm going to take a break soon, but before I do, I just want to get Professor Gavin Barrett in on this issue, Chair of the UCD School of Law. I'm not sure if you comment on proposed legislation, but we would like to hear what you think.
Sure, yeah. Well, my attitude would really be whatever works in this regard. Are the penalties working at the moment? It would appear that they aren't at the moment because there seems to be a rise in the number of incidents of people drinking at these lower limits. So something needs to be done. Whether what needs to be done is an increase in the size of the penalty or better enforcement, and therefore, if you like, moving over into the kind of area that we're going to be discussing after the next break is another matter. But something does need to be done.
Okay, so you could rest easy with the current legislation if it was enforced properly.
Well, I think we need to look at what would work and what is not working with the present system. It may be that we need to increase the penalties as well, but I think we also need to look at enforcement in this regard.
All right, well, enforcement brings us nicely to the Gardaí, and we'll discuss the Gardaí after this break. A text message, which I feel I should read, is from John, and it says, "I agree with Alan. Why don't you read that out for a bit of balance?" There you go. Done.
We can't see Alan texting, though, then. Limerick is the problem.
Alan, you didn't send that in, did you?
No comment.
All right. The Fianna Fáil motion, which we heard about towards the end of the week, will call on the government to get the policing authority to assess the capacity of Noreen O'Sullivan to do her job. That sounds like a cop-out to me, Jim O'Callaghan.
Well, it doesn't sound like a cop-out to me. We've now been, I think it's around 16 days since the Gardaí came out and made an announcement that there were 937,000 fake breath tests and there were 14,700 wrongful convictions. We looked for answers in respect to that. We haven't got them. As a result of that, we said that we could not declare confidence in the Gardaí commissioner. In the Dáil, it is important to note that Dáil Éireann cannot remove a commissioner. The power to remove a commissioner rests with the government. It can remove a commissioner on three grounds. What we can't have is a situation where Dáil Éireann can remove a commissioner. So what we want to do is to do our job in holding the government to account, and we want to do that in our motion. We're calling for the government to take immediate steps. We also recognise the important role that the policing authority has. The policing authority, since the 1st of January this year, can make recommendations to the government in respect of the commissioner. So rather than looking for heads or trying to do things that TDs cannot do, we're trying to provide solutions to this problem, in respect of which we still haven't been given satisfactory answers by the guards or the government.
Alan, what do you think? Is Fianna Fáil avoiding the hard call here?
Absolutely. What Jim and his colleagues say publicly and on radio and on the plinth of Leinster House and what they're actually doing in the Dáil are complete opposite. We have got three scenarios here. We've got a motion from Sinn Féin, which actually is wrong. It's going back into the Charlton issues in relation to whistleblowers, so that'll have to be defeated. I think Jim agrees with me on that. And so does the whip. I'm not putting words in their mouth. We have the Labour motion, which has been put down some time ago, which is to bring about a patent-style commission. And also, we've also given terms for that commission. We also want the policing authority to be given power to direct the Garda Commissioner to implement those reforms. And we are actually calling confidence in the Gardaí senior management. We are nailing our colours to the mast. And I see that, in fairness, Fine Gael, the Minister for Justice, the Taoiseach, has approached our party and has approached our spokesperson, Brendan Howell, in relation to this, to say they're coming towards our views. And in fairness, Micheál Martin has as well. But when it came to actually nailing their colours to the mast on this issue, Fianna Fáil have pulled up. They are not looking to decide confidence in the management of the Gardaí. They are pushing it out, and we totally disagree with that. We believe that we have to, as a chamber, as the Dáil, actually state whether or not we have confidence. And obviously, we in the Labour Party do not have confidence in senior management. We do not have confidence in the Commissioner. And okay. we believe this
but
needs to be...
But your motion doesn't seek no confidence in the Commissioner, Alan.
It says management of the Gardaí, senior management of the Gardaí. So that's what we are saying. And that includes the Commissioner. We don't believe it should be personalised down to one person.
Are there some within Fianna Fáil who would like your party to subscribe to that motion of no confidence that Labour have proposing? Because there are reports in the papers today that there is division in the party on this
issue.
Obviously,
people come to the Fianna Fáil front bench. We have different views. We discuss it. We come to a decision. We have been very strong on this since it happened. We were the first people to come out and describe the behaviour of the Gardaí as scandalous. We looked for accountability.
No,
we looked for answers in respect to this issue.
True.
The fact that a party such as Fianna Fáil has come out and said it cannot express confidence in the Gardaí Commissioner is a very clear statement. We have also stated that if we were in government, we would make the decision to remove the Gardaí Commissioner. Now, we can't be more clear than that.
Why don't you answer Alan Kelly there? Why don't you say it in the Dáil?
Because, as I said to you before, the Dáil does not have a role to play in removing a Gardaí Commissioner.
Well, then why can't you just say it in the Dáil?
Let me just say this to you. If we start having votes of no confidence in the Gardaí Commissioner, why don't we have a vote of no confidence in superintendents or sergeants? Before we know it, we'll have Dáil Éireann declaring motions of no confidence in school principals. That we need to recognise the role and responsibilities that TDs have and the roles and responsibilities that government have. And our motion is consistent with that.
Kevin, are there divisions in Fianna Fáil about this issue and how divided is the party, if it is at all?
Yeah, no, there are people, and I think Jim would acknowledge there are people, TDs individually, who believe that they should have pulled the plug on Noreen O'Sullivan. Micheál Martin came out a couple of weekends ago on a Sunday and declared no confidence. Well, at the time it was we are not able to declare confidence, which was another way of saying no confidence in Noreen O'Sullivan. They thought at that stage that she was going to go. She was right on the brink, and it looked like she was going to topple that week, and that she'd topple herself under the pressure that was coming down on her. Now, anyone who's ever written or researched Noreen O'Sullivan knows she is not that kind of lady. She will fight this to the bitter end because she believes she has done nothing wrong, and she wants her day at the tribunal to say that. Then Sinn Féin started to row in, and I think Fianna Fáil have got caught in a situation where they need to walk themselves back from pulling the plug from under Noreen O'Sullivan. They don't want to do that because it will destabilise the entire government. Jim is right, the Dáil can't sack her, but in fact Fianna Fáil can. You have the power to force the government to do it. If you can force the government
Absolutely.
To not put in water meters in newly built homes, you have the power to force them to bring Noreen O'Sullivan down, or else bring the government down. And I think that's what this motion is about, is to try and find a political way back from having gone that far. Noreen O'Sullivan didn't stand down. You cannot. There is not a hope in hell Fianna Fáil would ever back a Sinn Féin motion on the Gardaí. So that's never going to happen. So this is a political way to try and get back from it, and it's just more new politics.
Can I just say, it would be unlawful for the government to remove the Gardaí Commissioner on the basis that Fianna Fáil requested it or that Dáil arithmetic required it.
Mm. But you're saying she should be gone. You believe that she should. So then they would have other reasons. That's just you giving them your helpful opinion along the way, and they can reach that conclusion themselves.
The Dáil can make its own decision in relation to any issue. Obviously, the government have to do that. I think Kevin's analysis there is spot on in relation to Fianna Fáil trying to reposition themselves from where they were. And this motion, which actually is basically a cop-out, but they have to put forward something, given the fact that we have put forward a very substantial motion, which is very defined, and obviously Sinn Féin are on the extreme.
Can I just ask you, Alan, and Regina, let you in then, what convinces you that getting rid of Noreen O'Sullivan would solve the problems in the Garda Síochána?
Well, everything that's happened in the last 4 or 5 months means that we need different leadership in Garda Síochána. We've a very good proposal in relation to how the Gardaí should be looked into, and a commission of inquiry and looked into, and obviously proposals brought forward. But you can't have a situation where we have a Gardaí commissioner while there is investigations going on still in charge of the force. That is absolutely fundamental in what we believe. You can't allow a Gardaí commissioner.
Okay, can I just ask Gavin Barrett what your view is on that, having a person in place while this investigation is happening?
Well, the interesting thing for me
me about the Fenley Commission reports is that it certainly doesn't help Noreen O'Sullivan's case in relation to this, that it seems that problems in relation to the telephone communications were called to her attention in July 2011, again in July and August 2011, and it was only in 2014 that she did anything about it. I'm inclined to agree with Jim's view that the problems go far further than Noreen O'Sullivan. There's a general problem. I noticed the conclusions in the Fenley Commission's report that it should not be possible that senior members of the force would not fully understand how communications with the public occur and are recorded. So it's more, if you like, ignorance than deliberate abuse that comes out of the Fenley Commission's reports. But at the same time, if Noreen O'Sullivan was under pressure before this, I don't see how this report helps her case.
Just on the Fenley Commission report, Regina, the Attorney General was the subject of Alan Chatter's utterings during the week when he said that her legal advice was wrong. I mean, she told you that over 700 cases could be compromised by the recording of phone calls. She was, according to the report, presenting an alarming picture of the taping of phone calls. And can you be happy with that person?
Well, I can. And you know what? Don't get me wrong, I have huge respect for Alan and we're friends apart from anything else, but I disagree with what he said during the week. Take the scenario that the Fenley report gave you a different outcome and said, yes, that it wasn't benign and yes, that it there were cases... we'd have an entirely different conversation about the Attorney General. She had to give the Cabinet the advice on the basis of not knowing why the Gardaí were doing what they were doing, not knowing whether they did use the information that they garnered or not. And actually, I think her advice was sound, and that's why we had the establishment of the Commission of Inquiry. Can I just very briefly say, regardless of Fianna Fáil or Sinn Féin's motions or their motives behind them this week, nothing will change regardless of how people vote. And I think it's questionable that actually Fianna Fáil would ask us to instruct the independent policing authority to do the job that they're already doing, given that they have so much confidence in Josephine Feely. We are doing what we're doing, as in putting a commission of inquiry into the future of policing authority.
We are completely out of time. Thank you very much. Sorry, Regina. We're over time. My thanks to Regina, to Jim O'Callaghan, to Alan Kelly, Kevin Doyle and Gavin Barrett. We're back next week. David McCullough will be sitting in this chair on Easter Saturday. Callan's Kicks are up next. Enjoy the sunshine.
Saturday with Claire Byrne was produced by Kay Sheehy. The broadcast coordinator was David Phelan. Research was by John Riley and Rona Tarrant. And sound supervision was by Noel Roberts.